2 Peter 1:20 and 21. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. 2 Peter 1:20, 21. 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Would you open your Bibles? Well, that's not what we want to do. Would you open your Bibles to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, and John chapter 3, verse 7. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, and John chapter 3, verse 7. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're made aware of the fact that in life we're blessed in so many different ways. We're the recipients of grace in salvation. We are the recipients of grace by which we live every day. We're aware of the fact that each person in this auditorium, we are eternal beings. We are, as believers, body, soul, and spirit. We're thankful that one of these days we will be gone from this earth. And to be absent from the body simply means that we'll be at home with our wonderful Savior. And we're thankful for that. This is not because we deserve salvation. It's not because we merit it in any way. It's because we've been the recipients of that great gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. In these moments we're studying now, help us to be aware of the fact that we're building this magnificent spiritual house of the soul. And we're to do it consistently, enthusiastically, and every single day. In these moments now we read and study, may we receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. On the back of today's bulletin, you see Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, translated from the German. My people are for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected the knowledge, I reject you, that you no longer serve me as a priest. You have forgotten the law of your God, so I also forget your children. In the previous service, we looked at 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. In this service, we go to John chapter 3. In verse 7, we read, "Do not marvel that I told you, you must be born again." In our detour of our study of the book of Hosea, we come to the importance of the knowledge of the truth. This time, the knowledge of the truth in relationship to salvation. On the screen, you're going to see now John 3:7, a verse that most of you perhaps have already memorized. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. What is so interesting is that we have verbs here. I'll not spend a lot of time, even though I enjoy this. We have an emphasis upon a verb in the subjunctive mood, the aorist, active, subjunctive, second person singular of thaumazo, thamazo. Marvel not, because I told you, you must be born again. What I've been able to see is that in my study, I have a book that gives us the various conjugation of verbs. I enjoy this book because I double-check myself. I'll look at a verb and make a decision what I believe that it is. And then just to be sure, I go to my book in relationship to the conjugation of verbs. And I kept looking at this verse, John 3:7. And I kept seeing in the English that it says, "Marvel not, because I told you, you must be born again." And I kept saying to myself, there's more in this verse than what I'm seeing in the conjugation of these verbs in my book. And then it dawned on me that that book is designed in such a way that if you have a verb that's conjugated in a certain way in a previous verse, and on down the line you come to that same word, they don't repeat that conjugation. Now, you didn't need to know that. But I'm telling you because that I needed to know it. And I kept looking at it, and you'll notice what I did. I conjugated the verb myself because I knew what that verb was. But then I got to looking, and I found in previous verses, or in a previous verse, this same verb that's used here, and it was conjugated there for me. And so I knew I was okay. Aren't you glad that I'm okay? Thank you. Almost had some applause. Anyway, I want you to see that the word down here is born from above. That's what salvation is, folks. We're born from above. In other words, we didn't do it. We didn't have the merit or the ability or the finances. We didn't have anything it took to get it. If we're going to be born again, we have to be born from above. Does that make sense to you? But I want you to see how the verb is used. Since my eyes are bad, let me just get up here and show you what I saw. I saw G-E-N-N-E-T-H-E-N-A-I. And boy, did I get excited when I saw that. I saw in this verb the two letters that let me see that this was a passive voice instead of an active voice. Now, that may not make all that much sense to you right now, but it will if I explain it properly. The active voice says the subject produces the action of the verb. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action of the verb and is normally benefited. The passive voice says the subject receives the action of the verb. Woo! And I saw it. Right here. I saw it before you saw it. I saw it and I said, I've got to check it out to be sure that there may be a word somewhere that gives me my right conjugation. And I found it in a previous verse. It says, aorist, point of time, passive voice, I saw that, in that T-H-E, I saw that, I knew that was there. And then I saw the ending, the suffix. And I said to myself, self, that has to be an infinitive mood. The infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire. Do you see two things right here? It's God's desire that you and I see that we need to be born from above. And do you see that we need to see that we must be born from above? We must see, first of all, that God does it, and we must see that we need it. Now, I didn't plan on saying all that, but I just want you to know that this is a magnificent verse, and you ought to memorize John chapter 3, verse 1, all the way down through about 16, 17, 18. Memorize it. What does God do at salvation? Acts 16:31, Romans 10:13, John 3:18. You'll take these verses. 1 John 5:12. I wanted to get into all these verses exegetically, but I can't do that for now. But I want you to write them down. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Romans 10:13, John 3:18, 1 John 5:12. All of us are aware of the fact that the Bible teaches he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. The Christian life begins the moment a person believes the gospel. The Christian life begins the very moment that you believed and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Putting your complete confidence in Him for salvation. Please understand that at that moment, God provides the new believer with a great number of unique and permanent blessings. This is different for you to think about. At the time you were saved, at that very moment, at that time God provided you and me with a great number of unique, permanent blessings. And the scripture says, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. These blessings then are a part of our inheritance as a believer. God has given to us many biblical concepts and promises upon which we may draw during the remainder of our time on the earth. Now, my question to you is, how much more time do you have on this earth? And you can't answer that, can you? I ask myself, how much more time do I have on this earth? I can't answer that. I don't know. That's in God's hands. God is going to take me out whenever He wants to. And it's going to be wonderful. So, when I'm gone, don't cry too much, please. Just be aware of the fact that I am in a place of tremendous blessings. We're here now. We're going to be gone. Not too far away time. In the scriptures we have a list of what I call salvation concepts. A catalog of things that God does for us as believers at the moment of salvation. I want you to realize that I could stay here for hours and we could just take these one at a time. I have dozens of these points. And this morning when I came in, I was commenting to Johnny and Joyce because they were here, and I said, I've just got too much to say. And my sweet wife, oh, she's always there. She's always there to tell me what to do and what not to do. Isn't that wonderful? I love her. I'm going to keep her. After 62 years, I'm going to keep her. I want you to know, and she's right. Just give it. In other words, and that's what I tried to do today. Don't worry about all these points, even though I have so many wonderful points. What she says to me is just communicate. Just preach. Just tell us what's on your heart. Okay, I'm trying to do that, honey. Many hours of study can come from what information I have for you. It's valuable. It's important. It is valuable and important that a Christian understand the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And a good knowledge of these biblical concepts, these doctrines, can be of tremendous help on a day-by-day basis. This is the reason why I study and teach. So many people do not believe in eternal security. And we can see here, in order for God to take salvation away from anyone, He would have to reverse every one of these processes. Now, you have to understand that I have about 30-some-odd points. And so I stopped over to let you see that if a person didn't believe in eternal security, they'd have to reverse all of these things that we're saying here in these 35 or 40 points. For example, number 18, we're not there yet, but if I got there, here's what it says. The believer is a gift from God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you don't usually think about that. The believer is a gift from God to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you as a born-again believer are a gift from God to the Lord Jesus Christ? How could he reverse that? You talk about people confused and frustrated because they don't believe in eternal security. They don't accept God, and they don't accept God, accept God's word. So number 18 is, the believer is a gift from God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is revealed to us in John 17, verse 2, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 12, verse 24. I'll get there one of these days, and we'll go through these verses. But I want you to see, if you believed that you could be lost after you're saved, you'd have to reverse the process that is given to us in point 18, which is this verse. For example, this verse of Scripture shows that a Christian is a gift from God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. Loss of salvation would also mean that God would take back his gift to his Son. Or, as number 35, and we're not there yet, but 35 says, the believer is the recipient of a human spirit. We talked about that in the previous service, remember? The believer is a recipient of the human spirit. So that means that a person who is saved is moved from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. And if you're lost after you're saved, then that third would have to be removed. The believer is the recipient of the human spirit. I can't spend all the time. I just want you to see. Losing salvation would mean then that the human spirit would have to be killed. Well, of all things. Or removed in some way. In a similar way, you can argue in favor of eternal security from every one of these. You can see that this information we're beginning to give you now can be used in your personal witnessing to new Christians. The new believer, as all of us know, may be described as a new baby, or sometimes people have been a baby for a long time and they can be described as an old baby. Now, I want you to get a mental picture. New babies, little babies, suck on a bottle. And that's wonderful. But can you imagine someone 40, 50, 60, 70 years of age in this auditorium sucking on a bottle? We have had a wonderful family reunion. And we took pictures that we were taking about 20 years ago of our granddaughter. And we were able to see her when she was a tiny little baby. She's a junior in Trinity University now. And she came home and I saw her sucking on a bottle. I would say, what in the world's wrong with you, girl? And yet, that may be funny to you, but there are a lot of old people who've been believers for years who are still sucking on the bottle. I call them old babies. Do we need to have the closing prayer and go home now? You can use this information as you witness to new Christians. The new believer or the old baby believer cannot begin to mature until he or she begins to grasp the importance of the subject about which we're spending our time on now. Advanced believers are responsible to provide basic teaching to untaught believers. You have the responsibility, if you've been studying with us for years, you have the responsibility of communicating the information you've received here to other individuals. Don't keep it quiet. Number one, and I have a bunch of points, but we don't have much time. We'll just take a few. A believer is in the eternal plan of God, sharing the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. We as believers are in God's eternal plan. Is that comforting to you? Is that something that causes your heart to rejoice? We are as believers in God's eternal plan. We have the responsibility of sharing the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. As such a believer, the scripture says we're foreknown. Oh, I want you to write that word down, foreknown. Known before time. When did you think that God ever thought about you? Just when you were born, a few years ago, many years ago? Is that when God first thought about you? No. Before the foundation of the world, God thought about you and me. Foreknown. We won't have time, but look at these verses later. Acts 2.23, Romans 8.29, 1 Peter 1.2. There's something else that the Bible teaches us. A believer is in the eternal plan of God, sharing the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a believer, we're not only foreknown, but we're elected. Romans 8.33, Colossians 3.12, 1 Thessalonians 4.1-4, Titus 1.1. 1 Peter 1:2. Election, what does that mean? Oh, let's just spend a few moments here. Oh, my. Election. Let's look at these points that I have on the screen for you now. Election. All members of the human race are potentially elected by unlimited atonement. Now, I realize that this is a tremendous amount of theology. I'm trying to make it so simple for us to just to love it and appreciate it. All members of the human race are potentially elected by unlimited atonement. Theology covers many subjects. And I'm aware of the fact that there are people who believe in limited atonement. I'm presenting to you what I believe is God's true word, unlimited atonement, which means that when you go to John 3:16, when it says, "For God so loved the world," he said, "I only love part of the world." When God so loved the world, "I only love a third of the world." No, he doesn't say that. "For God so loved the world," the whole world, everyone is potentially qualified to be saved. Doesn't say that everyone will be, but everyone is an individual for whom Christ died. This is unlimited atonement. Riding along one day with a deacon from a church in which I pastored, he began to talk about limited atonement. Now, what do you do when you have a deacon in the church riding along in the car with you and he begins to talk about limited atonement? I'm not going to tell you. I cannot tell you what I thought and I cannot tell you what I said. I just want you to think about it. All members of the human race are potentially elected by unlimited atonement. And that's beautifully revealed in many passages, but Ephesians 1:4. And when you look at Ephesians 1:4, you will find that there is a word elektgo, E-K-L-E-G-O, elektgo, E-K-L-E-G-O, and you'll notice that it is in the middle voice. And that verb in the middle voice says, the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God did the work, and you were benefited thereby. Middle voice. You say, "Preacher, why do you get all excited about the Greek language?" Because it makes it possible for me to understand what the Scripture is saying. And I need to understand what it's saying before I can tell you what it's saying. If I don't know, how can you know? If a preacher doesn't know and doesn't study, how can he preach and give out the information? That's the Word of God. And when I look at this, oh my, I see an aorist tense at a point of time. I see that middle voice that I always shouted about. And then I see the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. It's not a subjunctive mood. It's a mood of reality. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God worked the miracle of transformation in your life. He did it, and you're the recipient of that gift. Okay, I've got another point here, don't I? Number two, Jesus Christ is elected from the eternal ages past, before man even existed. Do you have a mental picture of this? Here's a triangle. Here's deity one, the Father, deity two, the Son, pre-existent Christ, and deity three, the Holy Spirit. All right, eternal ages past. Deity one, deity two, deity three. You have that picture? What happened? These members of the Godhead looked down and saw Adam and Eve and their depravity, their sins. And I take it that, and I'm putting it in my own modern terminology, they discussed our situation. And they looked down and they saw you and they saw me and they saw the world. Depravity, unsaved. And they discussed that matter and they said, you know what? Something has to be done to take care of that mess. And the pre-existent Christ, deity two, in essence said to deity one, it's going to take someone with no sin. And the pre-existent Christ said to the Father, Father, I'll become that one. I'll go to the earth as the God-man, all God, all man, and I'll provide salvation for mankind. Jesus Christ is elected from the eternal ages past. Is that just what I said to you? Putting it in my own terminology. Isaiah 42:1, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 1 Peter 1:2. Can you see how much fun I have? What did I say back here? A believer is in the eternal plan of God, sharing the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, the believer is foreknown. Not only foreknown, but elected. Not only foreknown and elected, but predesigned. Romans 8:29-30. Ephesians 1:5. Chosen. Matthew 22:14. 1 Peter 2:4. Called. If I were teaching a Bible class in a college or seminary, I would take you just through this one little tiny step at a time. And I would ask my students, you look up these verses right now, and we're going to read them, and I am going to exegete these verses. We're going to study them together. And we'd have fun. That's really what I've planned to do. But I can't do you that way because I don't want you to have spiritual indigestion. I just want you to listen attentively and get my heart in what I'm saying. The believer is reconciled, number two. Number three, the believer is redeemed. Purchased from the slave market of sin. All these verses discuss this. We're going to put it on the internet so you can have it if you want it. The believer is removed from condemnation. Number four. Number five. The believer is under grace and not under judgment. That's the biblical subject of propitiation. Number six. The believer's sins are judged by spiritual death of Christ. We already talked about that. Number seven. The believer is made dead to the old life and alive unto God. In other words, the Bible talks about us being crucified with Christ. Many times we don't understand what that means at all. You listen well, and I thank you. May we bow for a moment of prayer. I'm aware of the fact that we're sharing information in biblical verses. I would like for you to take these verses down as much as possible. Be aware of the fact that God has a beautiful, magnificent plan for us. And we need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In these closing moments, we say to those who hear the message today, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they will understand that God does love the world, and you are a part of that world. And the Scripture says you must be born again. That's what John 3:7 says. You must be born again. That simply means that you accept God's gift of salvation, Jesus Christ. If you'll do that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him, He'll save you. Father, thank You for Your grace blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.